How awesome was that? Didn't know I was going for a ride. I knew I was coming. So when I first kind of took a look at the Daily Word last month to see what it is that I was going to be speaking with you about today, and I saw it was world peace, I thought, okay, no problem. I've got 6 weeks to figure out what humanity's been trying to figure out since the beginning of time. No big deal. I can do that. So I brought a 10,000-point bullet list for us to go through today, and I think, you know, help you pack to lunch, because it might be a while. So, you know, no, that's obviously not the point of this talk. What I would like to explore with you today is something that we might often consider to be an obstacle to our peace, because I can tell that y'all have creating a sense of harmony and peace and joy and love figured out, right? Everything that has been done this morning in this service is an intention to align ourselves with the harmony that we are, with the peace that we are. Beautiful music, spiritual practice, coming together in community. All of these things help us to realize our oneness with one another, our oneness with life. And yet, at some point, we have to leave this place. We have to turn off the live stream. We go on about our lives, and there may be things that appear in our lives that appear to be the opposite of peace. So that's what I want to talk about, is something that we might consider to be the opposite of peace, and we kind of treat it badly sometimes. We try to avoid it. We try to pretend that it doesn't exist. And sometimes I see in spiritual communities in particular, probably not y'all, you're all probably too evolved for this, but we even treat it like it's a bad word. And if you knew me when I was a little kid, you would know that I had an affinity for bad words. So I want to talk about it. As a matter of fact, my sisters and I wanted to be able to say bad words so badly. The grown-ups in our lives felt very free to express themselves with lots of colorful expressions that we were not allowed to use. And believe me, we tried. And this was back in the 80s, so a lot of parents still felt very free to use the old bar of soap method whenever we would use this. And let me tell you, I had it enough that if I close my eyes, I can still taste the flavor of Irish Spring to this day. I know what that feels like. So we knew. We were undeterred, though. We said, there's got to be a way. There's got to be a way. So we had a meeting, my sisters and I. I was 10, and they were a couple years younger than me, each one of them. So we had a meeting. We got our candy cigarettes out. Again. This is the 80s, and we said, we're going to figure this thing out. Now, I was the oldest, so I said, I'm going to be the organizer behind this operation. Let me get my notebook, my pen, my piece of paper. Got it out, and I said, we're going to make two columns here. First of all, let's brainstorm every bad word we can possibly think of. Now, this list was a little frighteningly comprehensive for a bunch of kids under the age of 10, but I made a list, and for each one of those bad words, we wrote a corresponding code word that we would be able to use. Pretty smart, right? Unbeknownst to the grown-ups. Well, we went through a couple packs of candy cigarettes that day, and we had a very good list going, but unfortunately, we left it laying around where someone found it. So we never got to use it. But what I can say is that sometimes in life we do this. We create a column of good and we create a column of bad. We create some things that we're willing to look at and maybe some things that we're not so willing to look at. And one of those things that sometimes we treat as a bad word is the word conflict, the idea of conflict, as if conflict is what our obstacle to peace is. And so what I'd like to explore today is the idea that it's not the conflict itself that is the obstacle to peace. Because let's face it, we have 8 billion people that we live with on this planet. 8 billion people who have each had their own different upbringings, their own perspectives, their own set of values, their own set of beliefs. I don't think we're going to come to an agreement on everything all the time. So how do we navigate the conflict when it arises? That's what I'd like to explore with us today. So I have some confessions to make about how I've kind of dealt with conflict in not so great ways in my life. And I've kind of broken them down just for the ease of this conversation to 2 things. And I call them burying and burrowing. I either bury it or I burrow with it. And let me explain what that means. So when I bury conflict, that's when I pretend it's not happening. Something arises, and I don't want to be with the tension of it because it feels too uncomfortable. Or I don't want to state my differing opinion for fear of being accepted or rejected. or that it won't find a home in the way that it was intended to, and that it will stop conversation. What I can tell you, actually, when we're willing to have these uncomfortable conversations, they actually create health instead of prevent it from happening. They create a space for transformation. They create a space for conflict to transform itself into compassion. But when I bury it on down, it can't even do that. And when I do that, I can tell you this, that the problem with burying conflict and pretending it doesn't happen is it doesn't stay buried for very long. One good rain comes along and there it comes up to the surface. And I know I've buried something because I can tell how I react when I might see that person that I'm feeling in conflict with. What happens in my body? Do I tense up? Does my mind start to say things that aren't friendly either towards myself or that other person? That's a good sign that I've buried something. And the mind can even do something very sneaky with burying, is it can spiritualize it. Because it can say, oh, I'm feeling this conflict. I feel like I need to say something, but I'm too nice to do that. I go to unity. I don't need to express myself. I could just pretend that this isn't happening and nobody will ever know. But the fact is, when we open our hearts to it, we can be with it in a completely different way. So the other thing that I've done, and maybe still do, burying's kind of my go-to. The other one I'm calling burrowing. And I like the word burrow because it's a verb and a noun. We know these animals that burrow, they dig a hole down in the ground, and then they live in that hole. They live in their burrow. And sometimes with conflict, honey, we just want to get down in there and live with it. We make ourselves real cozy with it. There's a story that goes along with this. And so we make ourselves a little home down in this dirt hole, and we keep telling the same story over and over. And then we invite our friends in. Come in, let me tell you the story. Let me tell you how horrible all those people are out there. Let me tell you how the problem is over there. And when somebody agrees with that, oh, it feels so good. It feels so good, yes. And if they don't agree with us, we can just kick them out of the hole. They don't have to be around us anymore. Because the mind has seduced us into thinking that our version of the story down in our little burrow is the one true story. And it doesn't make room for any different perspectives. It claims that what our mind is saying is the objective truth about the situation rather than the subjective truth about the situation. So it's not that either one of these are completely wrong. Maybe you notice yourself in one of these occasionally. Maybe I'm the only one. My friend Reverend Shirley. Oh, good. Thank you. Somebody. Oh, good. My friend, Rev Shirley Knight, when I told her about this idea, we were kind of talking about the burying, she said, I have another one, beelining. That's what she does. She makes a beeline. Something goes wrong, there's a bit of conflict, and she gets out of there. So we can just notice this. It's not to make ourselves wrong in these things. It's to have compassion for ourselves. Because as was said so beautifully in the prayer earlier, is that we need to open ourselves up to self-compassion is the key to healing conflict. It actually comes before we can get to forgiveness or any of that other good stuff. So let me go back to burrowing a little bit, because there's something that happens when the mind keeps the story going. Maybe you can find yourself in this. I love the story that comes out of the Zen tradition. And it's a story about two monks who are going on a walk of nobility. And this walk is to take place in silence. And it takes about 5 to 7 hours, and they're walking from village to village. This younger monk and an older monk, and they're walking as they should in silence. And then they come to this village, and there's a muddy street here. And there's a young woman on the other side of the street, and she has a long, beautiful silk kimono on. And she's trying to cross the street, but she can't because the kimono's going to drag through the mud. So the older monk crosses over, and he asks her permission, can I help you across? She says, sure. So he picks her up, and he carries her and puts her down on the other side of the road. So the two, they go their separate ways. The two monks continue on for a few more hours. And as they get close to their destination, the younger monk says, look, why did you do that? How dare you? You know we took a vow. We are not supposed to touch a woman. And you picked this young woman up and you grabbed her and you carried her across the road. And the older monk looked at him and said, you're still carrying that woman? I put her down hours ago.
So that is how the mind works, and it keeps it going and going and going at the cost of our own peace, at the cost of our own freedom. And so if we look at conflict, one of the things we might say, well, what's a good thing to do then? If we're feeling some kind of angst against our neighbor, some kind of upset, we've been offended. Well, forgiveness, right? We all know forgiveness is the great thing to do. But sometimes it feels like, oh, do I have to? And sometimes if we have an understanding of forgiveness, that is something that we have to find within ourselves to bestow upon all the jerks of the world, that we can't do it that way. That we can't do it that way because we are thinking that it's something that we have to carve out from ourselves. It's a subtractive thing from ourselves that we are having to give to someone else. So in order truly to forgive, we want to forgive from the overflow. We want to give from a knowing of our own wholeness, from a knowing that nothing that could ever happen out here can destroy the sacred, whole perfection and completeness that we are. And so one of the biggest shifts for me came in my understanding of forgiveness when I was discovering Imelda Shanklin. I don't know if y'all are familiar with Imelda. She was one of the early Unity teachers and authors. She wrote a book called What Are You? And she is one of those Unity teachers that would tell you like it is, right? She just got straight to the point. And I was reading along about conflict and forgiveness, and she said this: when you find yourself in conflict, stop right there and forgive yourself. Okay. She said, forgive yourself for expecting anyone to be anything except human. And I thought, oh, well, that's a different way to look at it, because in unity we do know and we hold to the truth that we are divine. We are that incarnation of that wholeness, that perfection, that completeness. And yet we live in a world of duality. We live in a world of forms. We live in a world of a lot of opinions. We live in a world where each person in here probably thinks that they know the right exact way to live life. Now multiply that times 8 billion. So this attachment to the idea that we should be acting in the spiritual perfection way all the time that gets us in trouble. We need to allow ourselves to be human. So when we feel this sense of either we buried it, burrowing with it, whatever it is, to stop in that moment and say, of course I'm doing this. I'm human. Of course, sometimes I get upset when somebody says something to me that I think challenges my worthiness, challenges my competency in any area of my life. Because what the ego likes to do is it likes to take everything personally. And so for the ego, if someone tells you you didn't do a great job today, to the ego, that's a threat to your survival. Everything becomes a threat to the ego's survival because it needs to feel that separate. Its job is to, of course, Miracle says, to seek and never find. So it keeps that kind of thing going. But when we say to ourselves, hey, you human, you cute little innocent human being, you did it again. That's all right. And when we are able to have compassion for ourselves in that way, that's what opens up to be able to have compassion for one another. But as long as we're in an experience of beating ourselves up when we don't get it right, beating ourselves up for getting offended or for not speaking up, whatever way, because the ego will be mad about whatever you do, trust me. Then if we stay in that, we're not able to have compassion for other people when they show up that way. And so Roger Teal, I don't know if y'all are familiar with Roger Teal. He was the minister at Mile High Church in Denver for many, many years. He comes out of the religious science tradition. And he talks about that the number one thing that we can do to help ourselves when we experience conflict is to love ourselves, to open ourselves up to self-love. And this can sound like maybe the last thing that's needed in that moment, because what the mind wants to do is say, well, I'll just fix it. Let me get in here and, well, if you're not running away from it, then the mind wants to fix it. Well, I'll just tell them what I think. I'll just go over here and hustle up over here, and maybe they won't notice what I did over here. Whatever it is, the mind wants to be in activity about it. But oftentimes, and sometimes being an activity is something that's helpful, but oftentimes the mind is a little too preemptive with it. We haven't gone far enough with it. We haven't seen what the gift is for us in this conflict. Because anytime we have something that isn't resonating with us or creates some kind of discord, it's actually just an invitation to look within. What am I believing about myself in this moment? What am I believing about the way the world works? Where am I believing that God isn't? Because when we give power to conflict, instead of power to the divine that is within ourselves, we are believing, we're making a little bit of an error there. An error that causes us pain and that causes us to stay stuck. And so I'm going to read to you a little bit about what Roger Teal says about what to do when we find ourselves in this conflict and we want to tap into that feeling of self-love. And he says this, that the first step is to throw open your heart to all of the love of God, to fill you, to heal you, to renew you. Feel the fear dissolving in the healing balm of love. And passionately embrace the feeling that you are enough, that you have never been inconsequential or flawed. And any message that you have received to the contrary was a lie. Simple as that. And so next we practice feeling this love and standing solid in it. So I just invite you just to breathe into that. Breathe into feeling this love that you are. Imagine yourself feeling solid and strong in this. Your heart is open. And when this happens, any sense of being offended will begin to dissolve. Not through effort, not through logic, not through reason, not because we should, but because we know ourselves to be so full. We know ourselves to be an expression of peace, an expression of love. And then he says, we will find ourselves, I love this part, emerging out of a trance of unworthiness. Because sometimes that's what conflict is about. It's either about somebody has said something that has struck something within us where we don't think we're good enough, or we don't think we're capable to handle this conflict. We're finding ourselves ill-equipped. And so we get in this trance of unworthiness. It's almost like a sleep state. That's what we often say, we're awakening up to the truth because we've been in a trance for so long. And then he says the next step is to go deeply within and ask ourselves the question, if I know myself as love, if I know myself as peace, if I know that there is that within me that is sacred and whole and untouchable, then how would I live my life? How do I go forth from here? One of my favorite spiritual teachers is Rob Bell, and Rob Bell says this, that the universal needs a particular. And what I think he means by that, or my interpretation, that's what y'all are going to get, he might mean something different. My interpretation of this is that whatever it is that we really just would love to see for the world, and of course, peace is one of these things. Compassion is one of these things. Wisdom, discernment, whatever it is, any of our beautiful 12 powers here, whatever it is we want to see in the world, it needs a particular vehicle to express that. Life wants to express love. Life wants to express peace, but it can't do it without you. And so when we know ourselves as love, and we tap into this question, what is mine to do next? What is mine to do? What is mine if peace is something that I value and I wish to see more of in this world? How can I bring that into the world? If harmony is something I want to see in this world, how can I do that? And it's not about looking at what other people are doing, because other people are going to do it differently than you. And they may be able to, maybe for them it's something that you can't quite resonate with, or you, it does make you feel like, wait, that's not my gift. We all have gifts. It wouldn't be on your heart if you didn't already have the gift to bring it into this world in some way. So the very fact that this is something you would like to see more of, that's the universe asking you to be it. Eckhart Tolle said that what we think the world is withholding from us, we are actually withholding from the world. Well, that's a hard truth. That's a hard one to hear. Because when you feel that the world is withholding compassion or understanding from you, you will probably likely have evidence for that. You can look around your life and say, see, I told you this person didn't understand me. This person didn't. This person said this to me. And yet, it's not about transactionally giving compassion to that person necessarily, but where can you give understanding in your life? Where have you maybe not been able to model that? And again, we hold it all lightly. This isn't about beating ourselves up into being more understanding. Ah, you better be more understanding next time. It's how can we? It's just a question. Just keep going back to ourselves for that question. So whatever it is we're trying to create, I invite you in your own spiritual community or in your life that you want to see more of. It's inclusion. How can I be that? Who am I holding outside of my circle, if there's anybody? If I want to be at peace, where am I still burying or burrowing? And so we just invite ourselves to look at that. And it's not about, like I said, holding anybody else accountable. This is all an inside job. And so at this time, I'd like to go ahead and lead us in our meditation. And as we consider what it is that is ours to do. So I just invite you to arrange your body in a way that feels comfortable for you, where you can be both alert and comfortable. And just breathe. Not trying to force the breath in any particular way, just allowing it to naturally flow through your body. In this moment, knowing that this breath is freely given, there's nothing you need to earn. To earn it, to deserve it. It simply is life expressing itself in, through, and as you. And just with our breath, life wants to express itself in, through, and as you as love, as peace, as compassion. So I invite you just to ask yourself the question, is there anything I need to do to show myself more compassion? And just listen. Is there anything that I'm holding on to that I just wish I was different? That I'm not including about myself? And can I open my heart to it? Can I open my heart and simply say, it's okay, you're human. You're loved. Now I invite you to call to mind maybe a circumstance, a situation, maybe a person that you're holding outside of your space circle of compassion, your circle of love. See if you can just feel your heart soften a little bit. Knowing yourself is an expression of love. Knowing that everything, all of your human experience cannot be outside of God and is therefore loved. can you also open your heart to this experience, to this situation? And in this moment, what we know is that forgiveness, that the transformation of conflict into peace happens when we love ourselves, happens when we are accepting of ourselves as the beautiful spiritual beings that we are, and accepting of ourselves when we find ourselves in the mud and the muck of the work of becoming, that it's all included. So one last deep breath here. I invite you just to thank yourself for being willing to go within, being willing to come to life with an open heart, and be willing to discover the peace that is within you through self-love. And so it is. Amen.
Speak on behalf.